This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Gibson is a political reporter at the Charlottesville Daily Progress, and he joins us on Monday afternoons to talk about all things politics. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Here.
Oh, y'all have a good weekend?
We had a wonderful weekend. We were up in Washington. It was warm, but it was very nice.
Washington warm in September? No.
A little bit.
It wasn't humid, was it?
Just a little humid. You know, it used to be a swamp.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people would argue it still is.
Yeah. Bob, we got a lot to get to this afternoon, so let's jump right into it. You're a column recently with the title National Politics in TJ Country.
We have in Charlottesville coming in the next month and a half, the police, as you noted in your last segment, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama. And they're all coming for one thing, the green. And I don't mean the Irish, and I don't mean the environmentalism that's prevalent here. They're coming for the green. I mean, they're coming for fundraisers. They're coming for a big concert that's going to, as you pointed out, raise big bucks per ticket. What,
$257 a ticket.
Ow!
Goes on sale this Saturday.
Yep. I mean, I like the police, but I'm not going to pay $227 to go see the police.
No.
I will listen to them.
I'm not either. And nothing against anybody that wants to go do that. You know,
oh, yeah.
More power to you,
yeah,
if that's how you want to spend your money. But
there's a lot of green in them there are hills out here in Albemarle.
I didn't know Barack Obama was coming, too.
Yeah, October 29th. Now, that's not set in stone. They do not have the details all set, but they sort of let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, and he's coming. Is it a similar thing?
Similar to Hillary Clinton's fundraiser, the top dollar is the same as the top dollar when he was out at Oprah's house in the Southern California last Saturday. $2,300 ticket. For, you know, getting together and pressing the flesh with the candidate, and then down to $50 if you just want to go listen to him.
Right, right. $2,300.
That's the maximum you can give in a presidential race before the nomination.
And do we know who is sponsoring that locally for Barack Obama?
Actually, they announced it in an email that sort of was ahead of their press announcement, so they haven't really formally announced it yet. So, you know, save October 29th if you want to go see Barack Obama at a fundraiser, but they haven't really
and save your
it.
Money.
And save your money, yeah. But they haven't announced the details.
Well, this is surprising. Now, you've been here. You came as a UVA student in the late 60s. Has Central Virginia always been front burner in national politics like this, or is this a new thing?
No, it's a new thing. Charlottesville and Albemarle are growing in importance in Virginia, and they're growing in importance especially to the Democratic Party, because there are so many Democrats around here with so much money. You know, I wish that, and the point of the column was that I really hope that Barack Obama, when he comes, and Hillary Clinton, when she comes, will have an event in which normal, everyday people don't have to get out their checkbook to go see them.
Yeah, have like a rally or something.
Yeah,
where you can
do something so that you talk to ordinary people rather than just come in and mine the big bucks.
Yeah, yeah. Which is often what they do when they're out campaigning.
Oh, yeah. They go
it's
from
so
one
expensive.
One fundraiser to another, to a TV debate. I mean, they had one over the weekend in Florida, the Democrats did, in Spanish.
Did they really? I missed that.
Yeah, I missed it too, because, you know, it's not one of the languages I've studied.
Yeah, yeah, me too. We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. If you've got a question or a comment, you know how it works. You pick up your phone. It's 977-1070. We have a line open. If you would like to join us, please do. Governor Warner, let's talk about Governor Warner. Former Governor Mark Warner. Everybody's saying, well, you know, he's going to run for U.S. Senate, and that's what the rumors and the scuttlebutt, everybody's sort of whispering it, that he's going to announce any day. What have you heard?
The Vegas odds on Mark Warner running for Senate are much better than the Vegas odds on Virginia winning its next football game.
Very well put, Bob. Oh, and I wish that wasn't the case, but...
you know, I think Thursday or Friday he announces that he is running for the U.S. Senate seat that John Warner is retiring from next year.
That soon? This week?
Yeah, I think the end of the week.
Where do you think he'll do it?
I think he'll do it in Richmond. Unfortunately, not everything happens in Charlottesville.
Yeah, I was going to say, why can't he do it on the steps of the UVA Rotunda?
That was quite an event for Senator Warner to announce his retirement on the Rotunda steps. And as you noted, you know, he was given quite a send-off. The folks here were very, very appreciative of what he said about his career and what he said about this soft place in his heart for Charlottesville and Lexington and Amherst.
Yeah, it really was moving, wasn't it?
It was.
Especially at the end when people were yelling thank you, you know, from the crowd.
The crowd of several hundred people really appreciated Senator Warner and his announcement.
Yeah. So Mark Warner, if he announces that he's running for Senate, it means a couple of things. He hasn't gotten the phone call from the Barack or the Hillary campaigns that they're interested in him for vice president, right?
Well, I would assume that's true.
Yeah. It also means that the Democrats in the Senate have probably called him and said, hey, if you run, we'll hook you up with some sweet committee assignments. We're not going to let you drift into obscurity. We'll get you appropriations, or we'll get you, armed services, some of the really nice, which would be terrific for Virginia if that is the case.
You know, Virginia has not had two Democratic...
Assuming he wins.
Virginia... Well, and that's... You can't assume that yet. Virginia has not had two Democratic Party senators since the 1960s.
Wow.
So it would be quite a turnaround for the state to have Jim Webb, the senior senator, and Mark Warner, the junior senator. But that's putting a lot of carts before a lot of horses. I mean, the Republicans have two viable, active candidates already. They won't announce until after November 6th, the election day of the police concert.
Right.
They will, Jim Gilmore, the former governor, before Mark Warner, and Tom Davis, the congressman from Northern Virginia, will both announce for the Senate seat, but they have each made it clear they're not going to until after this November, because they want this cycle to run out. You know, the 140 seats in the General Assembly that are on the November 6th ballot are... those candidates are still out there raising money, and these guys don't want to step on their toes just yet.
Right. Why would Mark Warner then be announcing so soon?
You know, I'm not sure of the timing. I'm not sure why he is being so early. And we all asked him about that when we were talking to him last Friday over at the Darden School. And he basically said, I've got the itch. He basically said, I can't wait. I want to get in this thing. I want to do this. Now, he didn't specifically say the Senate, but I asked him if he was waiting, why not wait for the vice presidential picture to clear up? And he said, I'm not going to wait for what he called other speculation or possibility, for speaking of being chosen. And he said that if he waited for that, that would pretty much... It would take him out of the running if he doesn't wait for that. He acknowledged.
Yeah. If he announces for Senate, he's not going to be vice president.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he knows that that's the path he's taking.
Right. Now, on the right, Jim Gilmore and Tom Davis. I was with Jim Gilmore Friday night at a Sorensen event
The right. Don't say on the right. The Republicans would argue with that. The Republicans I know view Jim Gilmore credibly as on the right. Most of them do not view Tom Davis as being on the right.
Good point.
They view Tom Davis as being very much the kind of moderate, centrist Republican that John Warner was.
Right, right. And there's a lot of conservatives who don't like Tom Davis for that very reason.
And yet, Jerry Kilgore, we had a story in our paper over the weekend, Jerry Kilgore is endorsing Tom Davis and joining Tom Davis's effort.
That's really interesting.
It is interesting.
Conservatives
are not united. There is no...
Yeah, yeah.
There's no one... line of thought among conservatives. Mostly they want to win, and some of them are convinced they can win with a guy who is true to conservative principles, like Jim Gilmore, as they see him. And a lot of them think they can win by nominating somebody who can do better in Northern Virginia, Tom Davis, who is, even though more moderate, still a Republican. So there's a real fight shaping up in the Republican Party. It's going to be very interesting. October 13th, the Republican State Central Committee is going to meet in Richmond, and chances are very strong that they're going to decide on a convention for the nomination for the U.S. Senate seat.
Versus a primary.
Now, the Democrats will probably go with the primary because they favor primaries, and Mark Warner will probably be the only name in that primary.
Right, right.
I don't see anybody challenging
him. So then he would be the Democratic candidate. Who would a convention serve? If the Republicans decide to have a convention versus a primary, who plays into whose favor?
I think it plays in Gilmore's favor, but it doesn't guarantee Gilmore a win. It just means that he is in the game in a convention, in a primary. Tom Davis has far more money and I think would blow him out.
Yeah, and a lot more votes in Northern Virginia, folks who want to see a more moderate Republican.
The problem with that is that Northern Virginia, Virginians who say Northern Virginia has all these votes are forgetting that Northern Virginians don't look south. They always look north. So unless they're engaged in something that really matters in Washington, like this Senate race might, they don't vote. in anywhere near the numbers that the rest of Virginians vote in.
Interesting.
So Northern Virginia, while it has a third of the state's voters, they don't always vote. You know, they're not paying attention to state politics. But when a Senate race comes down, especially in a presidential year, they'll vote. So next year, all the bets are off on, you know, Northern Virginia not voting. Northern Virginia will vote.
How does a convention work? What exactly would happen?
Well, in a convention,
for them to determine the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate,
local Republicans in every jurisdiction in Virginia would get together and choose their delegates to that convention. So it would be the party activists who tend to be more conservative than the average Republican voter. So, you know, it's really Gilmore's best chance and best hope that he gets a convention. And I think he will get a convention.
And who makes the decision whether or not the Republicans will have a convention or a primary?
That's the State Central Committee. And that's a fairly conservative group of Republican Party activists who have been serving the party for a long time. And, you know, once every few months, they go down to Richmond and they sit around in a large room on the second floor of their state party headquarters and they decide what to do to advance the conservative cause in Virginia.
Right, right. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how this plays out because it'll just tell you so much about the future of the Republican Party in Virginia.
Well, I don't think you can count anything today. I think a convention is very much up in the air. It's Jim Gilmore's only chance. But Tom Davis, not only has he hired, in effect, gotten the support of Jerry Kilgore, but he's hired Chris LaCivita, who was a right-hand guy for George Allen, to run Tom Davis's campaign for a convention. So it's not a sure thing that it's going to be a convention. It's likely. But even a convention is not a sure thing. It's going to be Jim Gilmore. It very well could be Tom Davis.
Right, right. And this is what Tom Davis needs to do right now, is line up these this support from the conservative faction of the party.
Right. And he does have that because there are plenty of conservatives who are plenty hungry to win.
We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. A very quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, thanks for checking out the fantastic program known as the Coy Barefoot Show, Charlottesville. Right now,
we're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, and Sherry is on line one. Sherry, thanks for holding on there. You're on with Bob. Go right ahead.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hi, Sherry. Great.
I'm very interested in what you're saying about the October 13th meeting, because if that's the case, it looks like we possibly might not have another dual primary in June in the city, well, all over the state.
Right.
My question is, if we were to have a primary, what do you think voter turnout would be in something like this?
That's a good question. And, you know, we do have a presidential primary coming up
in February
12th. So we do have a primary next year. Mm-hmm. It's earlier than it's usual. I mean, last time it was in February, but Virginia usually doesn't go that early. But now
right.
All these other states have leapfrogged ahead of Virginia, so we're almost at the tail end of the parade, or we're in the middle somewhere. You know, I think our Senate primaries for the nomination would not be very well attended by the voters. Our nominating primaries that the parties have held in recent years have varied between 3 and 7-8% at the most. You know, Charlottesville's done a little better, Albemarle's done a little better, but not much. You know, I think our participation has been woefully low in these nominating primaries.
I think. Well, I obviously agree with you. I think it's frustrating for us when you have such a low turnout, and I'm wondering why the parties don't take that into consideration. Since we have nothing to do with the conventions, obviously, you know, do the parties really look at the turnout when they make their decision as to what they're going to do?
They do, and there are a lot of pluses and minuses for each of the options they have. A primary does involve more people. It also spends more money,
mm-hmm.
and that isn't necessarily a good thing. A lot of Republicans arguing for a convention are saying, let's have a convention because Mark Warner's going to have all the money in the world anyway. Let's not saddle our candidate with a primary before, you know, he gets the nomination.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Thank you so much. I enjoy listening to you.
Well, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sherry. Yeah. I enjoy listening to you too, Bob.
Well, she has a good point. And I think...
it's some real sort of backroom strategy here.
I think the parties also like the purity of letting the activists decide. That's why the Republicans are likely to go with a convention. It isn't to give Jim Gilmore an advantage. It isn't to give Tom Davis a disadvantage. It's because they want... Republican activists want Republican activists to be the nominators.
And if you have a primary, you have to open your door to all Virginia voters.
Right. A primary, well, it depends.
So,
as Sherry was pointing out, you know, a dual primary, you can't do that. If somebody ran against Mark Warner for the nomination and somebody ran against Tom Davis and you had Tom Davis and Jim Gilmore in a primary, then you could only have voters choosing to vote in one or the other because they'd be held at the same time.
Oh, okay.
And that will happen in the presidential primary.
Nobody's going to run against Mark Warner for the Democratic nomination, though.
It's very unlikely. They wouldn't stand much of a chance. But, you know, looking ahead to February 12th, when Virginians vote for the presidential primary, you'll have, you know, 8 or 9 Democrats on the ballot, 8 or 9 Republicans. You know, Fred Thompson just stepped in last week on the Tonight Show.
Right, right.
So you're going to have a lot of folks choosing. And I think Barack Obama, you know, is going to clean Hillary Clinton's clock in that primary. I just have that feeling.
In Virginia or nationally?
In Virginia.
Really?
Now, nationally, she's doing better. But in certain states, I think he's going to do very well. And I think South Carolina might be one of those states that's very heavily contested between the two of them. And I think Obama has the edge over Hillary in Virginia.
Interesting. We have a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask you, change gears here, and ask you if we could turn to the General Assembly elections coming up in November, November 6th. All 140 seats of the Virginia General Assembly are up for grabs.
Except that half of them are not contested.
Right. So I shouldn't say they're all up for grabs.
Well, they're all on the ballot. But yeah. But there are only about 15 House races and about 12 Senate races that are seriously contested.
Yeah. You wrote recently about your column, A Reality Check on Immigrants. We hear the Republican Party now, they're sort of trying to turn the media's attention away from abusive driver fees and back to illegal immigration, and proposed a whole bunch of stuff on that. For the folks who missed your article, number one, what was it about? And number two, to what degree do you think illegal immigration is going to manifest itself as a voting issue?
Well, that remains to be seen. And Republicans would much rather talk about illegal immigration than they would talk about the abusive driver fees that they passed and then that blew up when voters decided in July, when they went into effect, that they weren't such a hot idea after all, that they were a little punitive and certainly unfair to include only Virginians. So those will remain somewhat of an issue because they're going to go back to Richmond to fix that or perhaps eliminate those driver fees. But the immigration issue is something Republicans love to talk about because it tends to be something that they can you know, it's really funny because it's been a failure on the national level. And yet they want to inject the state to sort of do the national level's job. They want to empower police to do more checking on who isn't illegally in this country. And there's some public sentiment for that. But I think they risk alienating a large number of voters if they are seen as too mean-spirited about it. So I think it's a very dangerous, tricky path for them as they walk this, you know, let's change the subject to illegal immigrants path.
Bob Gibson writes for the Charlottesville Daily Progress. You can read his work in the paper and online at dailyprogress.com. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.